HiBridge Audio presents The Road from Gap Creek by Robert Morgan. Read by Emma Galvin. Original material, copyright 2013, Robert Morgan. Recorded by arrangement with Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, a division of Workman Publishing. Recording copyright 2013, HiBridge Company. One. The thing about Mama was she'd never tell you how she felt. When she was feeling bad, she'd just go on with her work, washing dishes or peeling taters or mopping the floor. And I know she was feeling pretty low, but she wouldn't say nothing. Work was what she'd done, what she'd done her whole life since she was a little girl up on Mount Olivet. And she'd keep on scrubbing the dishes and cups with a rag and soapy water and rinse them in cold water and dry them with a linen towel. It would make Papa mad that Mama wouldn't say nothing when her feelings was hurt or she had the blues. It was a difference between them that went all the way back to the beginning of their marriage, back to the days on Gap Creek. Papa would argue and say she'd spent too much money on flower seeds or a shrub for the yard. He never could see wasting money on beautifying flowers. While Mama was crazy about flowers and liked nothing better than a rose of Sharon bush blooming in the yard and attracting bees and hummingbirds, or colorful geraniums in pots along the edge of the porch, she once said that it was a sign that God loved us, that he put such colors in the world, as you see in the red geraniums, or the pink of dahlias, or the dark purple of ironweeds along the road. "Julie, you're going to break us up," Papa would say if she paid a peddler a dollar for some bulbs to hide in the ground. Mama wouldn't say nothing back. She'd just go on with whatever she was doing, or maybe start something harder, like washing the chicken piles off the porch or sweeping the backyard. I never saw nobody take more pride in keeping the porch clean than Mama did. Chickens would get up on the porch looking for something to peck and leave their piles, like big melted coins on the boards. If the piles got baked in the sun, they'd be hard to get off, set hard as cement or glue in the cracks of the wood. So almost every day, Mama would heat a bucket of water on the kitchen stove till it was near boiling. Holding the bucket with a towel or the tail of her apron, she'd splash tongues of smoking water on the planks that made them steam like they was burning. And then with the broom, she'd scour the chicken piles off, flirting the dirty water into the yard. She'd splash and sweep until the porch was clean as the kitchen table drying in the sun. About once a week, Mama done the same thing to the yard, splashing and sweeping, running away the chickens, sweeping again, sometimes sprinkling white sand she got from Kimball Branch, till the yard looked smooth as a piece of white twill cloth that had been washed and ironed. That day, when the black car stopped in front of the house and the two men in uniforms got out, my heart sunk right to the soles of my feet. It was November of 1943, and you didn't see many cars then because of the gas rationing, even on the big road. And on our little gravel road, you could go half a day and not see a vehicle pass except for the school bus. That car could not mean any good as it stopped there on Mama's swept yard beside the boxwoods. Those two men walked across the ground she'd swept so careful, and I wished I could close my eyes and make them go away. We'd read in the paper about two men coming to deliver bad news from the war. It made me cold in the belly to see them, and then it made me mad. I wanted to fling open the kitchen door and tell them to go away. They had no business coming on us all of a sudden like this. I wanted to tell them to go back in their black car and drive back to town or some army base or Washington, D.C., or wherever they'd come from. They knocked on the kitchen door, and when I opened it, the taller one said, "Is Mr. Hank Richards here?" "No, he ain't," I said. The truth was, Papa was out cutting firewood on the Squirrel Hill with my brother Velmer.
"Is Mrs. Richards here?"
the second man said. He took off his army cap and put it under his arm. No, I'll see, I said, trying to think of some way to keep Mama from having to see them. But the other man took off his cap and looked past me. I turned and seen Mama standing right behind me in the light from the door.